Tent of meeting. Before I talk about the actual tent itself, I just want to introduce this from the book of Exodus. Moses goes up the mountain the second time to get the commandments. And he comes back. There's already been a problem with their worship of idols. But he comes back the second time and he knows that there is so much to be done. They're going to be going to the promised land. And he's not quite sure how long it's going to take, and he knows he needs God's help. But God prepares him. God says to him, you're going to build a tabernacle. The people are going to offer sacrifice there, and he gives instructions. He says, you have the commandments, you're going to lead the people, and I'll be with you. And Moses says, well, I want your presence with me. He said, if your presence doesn't go with me, I can't take these people. He says, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. And then Moses just wants to get close to God, and God ends up saying to him, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock. He said, and I'll let all my goodness pass before you. In other words, I know the cry of your heart. You want to know who I am. You want to know about me. You want to know me, as it were, face to face, person to person. He said, I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and my goodness will pass by, and you will know that you've been with me. And that became really the way that Moses walked with God. It was prophetic of what Paul wrote in the book of Colossians when he says, your life is hidden with Christ in God, Jesus the rock. Moses was hidden in that place, but the goodness of God passed by and he saw him going into the distance and he knew that he had been with God. Then in Isaiah chapter 26, it speaks about whose minds are stayed upon you, you will keep in perfect peace because they trust in you. For he is the Lord God, the everlasting rock. As it says in the literal Bible, Young's literal Bible, the everlasting rock is the rock of ages. You'll find that in the margin of your King James, the rock of ages. And that's what we sing. That's where we're hidden, with Christ in God, the rock. So that was the way Moses was going into this journey. And we're still on that journey. Moses is gone, Joshua's gone, Jesus has come, and he's still with us. But there was something that marked the way of relationship between Moses and God that was begun for us on that day. We have now, and it was called the Tent of Meeting. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 33, verse 7. Moses took his tent. God said, I want you to meet me in this tent. Now, this is not the tabernacle. This is not the tabernacle. This is a personal tent. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tent of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tent of Meeting that was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose, each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tent. And when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tent, and the Lord talked with Moses. This is what Moses had been waiting for. And this happened all the time. This wasn't just a one-off. All the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tent door, and all the people rose and worshipped, each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, or person to person, which is what it means, as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua, a young man, did not leave the tent. Now, all the people went out to that tent. It says they stood in the tent door, their own tent doors. But it says there, it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tent of meeting that was outside the camp. So they would be there. They knew something was happening. Now, it was between God and Moses. But that represented something that they knew meant that God spoke with mankind. God spoke to his people. And they wanted to be there. There was something that drew them to that place. But Joshua, he just didn't want to leave it. It's recorded that Joshua would just stay there outside the tent, and he knew that that was where he wanted to live. It's very interesting that Joshua would have had that same tent to believe in time to come, because in the book of Joshua, God says to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now, I'll just read the next little reading here, in the next chapter, Exodus 34:34. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever had been commanded to him. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. So there is that veil again. And that was like a message to them that there was still a veil. It was also prophetically a message to us, as it says in 2 Corinthians. When one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. We have that access. Those people were limited in their access to God, except for Moses. He was representative. But the way was coming when the veil would be taken away and we would all be in that place. So that's not the tabernacle. You see, Moses, I'll read it in the notes here, this was not the tabernacle of Moses with the holy place where the priests, Aaron and his sons, went daily through the first curtain to do their priestly duties. This tent had nothing to do with duty. This speaks of a heart that pursues the presence of God. So there were always two tents. Moses really didn't have much to do with the tabernacle. He wasn't a priest. Aaron, his brother, his older brother, was a priest. And his four sons, they were the first set of priests, because Moses and Aaron were of the tribe of Levi. You couldn't be a priest unless you're in the tribe of Levi. But being in the tribe of Levi didn't necessarily mean you're going to be a priest. You had to be the firstborn of the sons. But this first time round, it was Aaron who was the firstborn and his four sons. And that became a structured way of God's relating to his people. But it wasn't that tent of personal intimacy with God. You can see a picture of the tent there, the pillar of cloud. And there is that cloud speaking of the Holy Spirit who led them through the wilderness. That's where Moses was able to speak with God and get direction. There were always two tents. One was the tabernacle of the congregation, the other was the tent of meeting with God. The tabernacle of the congregation became the structured community house of God, which was to bless the family of God. The tent of meeting was and still is the place of personal communion with the heart of God. And today, each of us has that tent. These two expressions still exist. When we have communion today, we are here, as it were, in the tabernacle, if you like. This is the place where God ordained way back there in the wilderness that there would be a tent or a tabernacle of the congregation where he wanted to bless his people. That's where sacrifice was offered. That's where sins were forgiven. That's where they knew they were, as it were, saved, part of the kingdom with God. They knew that that was where healing happened to them. That's where they came to the priest to be cleansed. All of that was the blessing of God upon his family, upon his nation, his people, which was prophetic as well of the days that would come when God's people would gather together. And the house of God was the place where God wants to bless his people. And that's where we are today. There are many different expressions of the tabernacle today in the house of God, in the church, different ways that churches operate. Some have an energy and a far-reaching influence. Others in different cultures, in different places, have their worship led by the Spirit, who's able to be present for every kind of person, every kind of culture. But God wants us to know that it is not just the tabernacle that represents his people in the earth. It is the tent where each person speaks with God. The two always go together. We can't just have, well, it's now become just the church meeting. That is the tabernacle. When I think of church, this tabernacle, this place, this meeting place, where we come on a Sunday. We come here on a Sunday, but life goes on through the week. Well, my heart is for the church is that God's people will be blessed by God in their daily lives and that they will be a blessing to one another. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. Later on, became the temple, and then there were the synagogues where there was instruction in the word, where God's people heard the word of God and began to obediently live that word of God. I see this tabernacle here as a place where people come not out of a sense of duty, but because they want to gather together. They want to be in the fellowship of the word of God. They want to be able to pray for one another and be a blessing to one another. If I don't see the church as something that is a blessing to people, if I see it as a duty, or if I see it as something that rigorously forces people to have to conform to some kind of corporate thing that has to be done, and I say, hey, hang on, where is the blessing of God here? Where is the heart for God's people to be healed, restored, comforted, appreciated? That's my heart for the church. Do you know what? I wouldn't be able to maintain that heart for the church unless I had a tent outside the camp, where it was just God and me. I believe God has wanted there to be the two tents all the time. I would hate to think that what the church might have done over the years is say, it's all about the church. It's about our programs. It's about this. Now, that can be a great blessing. But God's family is a place of celebration, of the love and unity of God's people together. But there needs to be the exercise of the tent of meeting for each person to bring the Jesus that you know, you've been meeting with through the week, hidden in him, to bring him together as we are today, to have communion with him, to be able to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, which we're going to do in communion, and to know by faith that the blessing, the healing, the restoration of God is in this place. When Jesus came and began to proclaim the kingdom, he was asked a lot of tricky questions. And some of his answers were difficult to understand. He wept over Jerusalem. He was distressed at what the tabernacle had become, the temple. He saw it had lost the heart. The people weren't being blessed. People were being excluded. All kinds of things were happening. So he went to the poor. They were healed. You see, you couldn't go into the temple in those days if you were disfigured or sick. Had leprosy, had to stay outside. So he would heal people and they could go to the temple. And they'd go in and they'd proclaim thanksgiving to God. That's what he saw as, this is a place for his people to be blessed. Not just a place of professional business. So he looked at the temple and he said in front of the scribes and Pharisees, he said, you destroy this temple and I'll rebuild it again in 3 days. And of course their immediate answer was, this temple, it took 46 years to build. But he was speaking of the temple, the tent of his body. Jesus knew what the tent of meeting was. He is the Word of God. He was the one with Moses in the cleft of the rock. He was the rock. Moses was hidden with Christ in God. When Jesus walked on the Emmaus Road after he'd risen from the dead, he had a long, long walk. About an 8-mile walk, people say. And he revealed everything that was spoken about himself in the Word of God to them. I believe he would have mentioned the tent. He would have mentioned the rock. It says the rock that followed them was Christ. When he came to speak to his people, he says, I'm the tent. Then Paul writes later on in the scriptures and says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're a tent. He also says to them in Ephesians, together you are the tabernacle of God. So there is this, the personal and the corporate. What I just wanted to remind us today of as we have communion is we're here corporately together. We're here to receive the blessing of God and to pass it on to one another. But we're also here with our own personal tent of meeting with the Lord. And if we can have in mind that we need to practice the presence of the tent of meeting, because that's where we get the cloud, the pillar of the presence of God. That's where, as Moses spoke face to face, as Moses got direction, as he said, what am I going to do with this people? He'd go in there and the Lord would speak to him. He wasn't just using natural wisdom. Anytime he needed to know something, he'd go to the tent. And that's what we do, into the tent. You'll see in the notes here, we're just finishing up here before we have communion on this one. Number one, the tent of meeting was for Moses' leadership direction for Israel and to experience the grace and presence of God. The tent of meeting was also for everyone who sought the Lord. I don't know whether everyone went out there to watch him in the tent or to be close to the tent, but it was there. Secondly, the tabernacle was for structured community, salvation, blessing, healing, and instruction and unity. God wanted that for his people. And thirdly, the holy nation was to be, in its final expression today, because we are called a holy nation, we are separated unto God. And the holy nation that in the Epistle of Peter it says that we are, in its final expression today, is the combined expression of the holy tents of meeting individually and the holy tabernacle of unity and love. If the world is waiting to see Jesus, and if he's going to be expressed through his people, it won't simply be church meetings. It will be the combination of people in their own personal tent of meeting, the gathering of God's people in the unity of faith. And then that expression will go out, as it does from this place, and touch lives out in the community. Because there will be direction, there will be wisdom given, there will be a heart of compassion that gets born within the love and unity in the family of God, people that care for one another, pray for one another. That then becomes expressed in the community where people are, within families, within friends. And there is the blessing of God, which is born in the individual tent, which is expressed in the corporate tent, and then which flows out into the community. How many people have you met this week? That you felt maybe a bit difficult to get along with? How many people did you look at and say, you actually have the opportunity to be person to person with the living God? And I don't know how it's going to happen for you, and it could be anybody that I'm talking about now. But such as I have, I'll give to you. It doesn't mean a sermon. It means the blessing of love and care and compassion for that person that comes from somebody who has seen the goodness of God. The goodness of God has passed by. They've been hidden in the rock, and they say, thank you, Lord. That's what you want to do. And that exercise of faith, and it's only by faith. And they say, I haven't got anything to give. I haven't got anything I can do for that person. You can give them kindness. You can have a prayer in your heart. Lord, awaken that person, as we heard in the word this morning. Be awakened. Your prayer of awakening can be the thing that awakens a person's spirit and heart. But your prayer of resistance and contention with another person, another soul, can actually leave the veil there. The veil comes off, something shines through. That's what you are. As we have communion today, see yourself. See yourself as going out of this place and thinking, whoops, what am I going to do about this veil? Leave it off. You can leave it off. One thing's for sure, there's no veil between you and the Lord. Because as you look to Jesus, the veil is taken away. So let's now prepare our hearts for communion. What we're going to do is come and take the cup and the bread and serve one another. And we're going to give thanks to him for his presence and for being in the blessing of God, no matter what the circumstances are, to know that he's leading us through, and then to be the blessing of God as we go forth. Amen.